The MP for Mitcham and Morden, Siobhan McDonagh, is joining me on Radio Jackie this morning. People went to the polls yesterday. Just touching on that, are you confident in Sadiq Khan, even though certain aspects have been unpopular, such as ULEZ?
I think so, yes. I think that Sadiq will win.
And moving on to the Burnbullock fire, have you got an update for people on the situation?
Oh, yeah. We delivered a letter to the residents who live close by at the beginning of the week. And I've sent something out on Facebook and on all the email information I have. It's a very complicated process because, as you can understand, I'm sure, the Burnbullock is currently a crime scene. It's a crime scene that the police can't enter because it's been designated a dangerous structure. So Historic England, who are a national body in charge of listed buildings, and the council, met with a specialist engineer to check out what work needed to be done to the property in order to allow anyone to access it. And as you can imagine, these are very specialist skills, and there aren't lots of people who can do this work. So some work's going to have to be done to the building in order to allow access, in order to investigate the scene of the crime and why the fire happened. That's why the police are currently stationing a police vehicle with two officers on the site 24 hours, 7 days a week. So as you can understand, they're desperate to see it sorted.
And the fact you mentioned that it's a crime scene, does that suggest it was a deliberate attack? Was it arson and not accidental?
No, it doesn't suggest any cause at all. It suggests that we don't know. And like anything, like any act, you know, any building that burns down, you have to find out why did it happen. And that's what the police are trying to do. But they can't enter the scene.
Do you think more should have been done to save the historic building? And if so, what could have been done?
Well, there were a number of things that were tried. As you say, this is a listed building. So in order to develop the site at all, the owner of the premises would have to develop a scheme where they would have to spend around £2 million in order just to do up the Burnbullock. So before they made any profit, they'd need to spend the money on the listed building. And I think that that was difficult for the developer and difficult to make it stack up financially. They had two tries. They tried to make it a residential development and a hotel development, but it never proceeded. Also, there were a number of notices requiring that the owner did it up. But ultimately, if the developer wasn't going to do that, all the council could do was try and compulsory purchase the land again, which is a fraught difficulty and it costs a fortune.
And what should be done next? As it stands, the building's burnt down. What's the next steps?
The next step is to make sure the building is safe, to allow the police to gain access to the site, to hoard the building, to put a safety hoarding around it so that police car doesn't have to be there 24/7. And once the source is found out and why it happened, then the police will do whatever they need to do. And then negotiations will have to be started to rebuild the premises in the sympathetic condition that it should be in. And so that's a question of either getting the owner to do that, or ultimately, if that doesn't work, for the council to compulsory purchase it and do it. But it's not something that happens overnight.
Now, the council won't speak to us. As it says, it's privately owned land, so we have to speak to the developers, who we can't get a hold of. As the council has a responsibility to residents, and the residents are wanting answers, isn't it time to step in?
Well, the council has already stepped in, and that it is organising. It has organised a site meeting with Historic England and its contractors to see how the building can be made safe to allow the police investigation. So it's involved, very involved. But the emphasis must be, this is a privately owned building, and the emphasis must be for the owner to do the works that are required.
And how well did London Fire Brigade respond to this incident?
I think they did a really good job. When I was there on the Friday evening it happened, they had a number of vehicles there. and they were dousing the building with water. They were not allowed to go into the building because it was regarded as a dangerous structure and could collapse on anybody at any time.
And how do you think this fire has affected the local community?
Well, I think it saddened a lot of people because it is a building of such historical significance. It also reinforces kind of some of the changes we have going on in our area and in our society, where a lot of pubs are falling into dilapidated conditions, and it's how we are able to protect the buildings, but also to provide sort of social spaces where people can come together as a community. It's not an easy problem to solve.
And I saw yesterday that residents of Mitcham Common are trying to fundraise £3,000 to bring the Burnbullock pump back to life. What do you think this says about the situation, the fact that residents are having to take matters into their own hands?
Well, I mean, it's not to bring the Burnbullock back into its condition, because £3,000 wouldn't go anywhere, you know, wouldn't be wouldn't be a drop in the ocean in terms of the cost. I think that request for money is for a campaign about the Burnbullock. And residents must do whatever they think is right in every circumstance. And obviously, they want to put pressure on the council to make sure the council can do everything it can.
And as we know, it is privately owned buildings. So do residents even have any power to put that money towards the Burnbullock?
Well, it will go towards a campaign, as I understand it, rather than to the Burnbullock itself. So I imagine they want to print leaflets, obtain legal advice, maybe obtain specialist heritage building advice. I imagine that's what it's for. It's for the campaign, for residents to be heard.
Moving on to glioblastoma, a cross-party group of MPs have written to the Department for Health and Social Care calling for a national brain tumour strategy, which the Health and Social Care Committee has welcomed. Have you read their strategy, and what do you make of it if you have?
I have read it, and I think that anything anybody does in glioblastoma, which is the rarest, which is a very severe form of brain tumour, is a good thing. But in the end, a strategy doesn't make progress. The only thing that will make progress on finding a cure for glioblastoma are drug trials.
Yeah, and you've said that people need to get angry and demanding about drug trials. Why is that?
Because the odds are stacked against those who suffer from glioblastoma and from their family and friends. Because the pharmaceutical companies aren't interested in the process, because only 3,200 people die every year of a glioblastoma, or are diagnosed with a glioblastoma every year. And so they tend to work on initiatives for the larger cancers. So I think people need to get angry. They need to require government. They need to require the NHS. They need to require the research bodies to do more, because it's so easy just to be interested in the large cancers.
And anti-cancer vaccines have been in the news this week. Could this be a breakthrough for people diagnosed with glioblastoma?
Yeah, well, Dr. Paul Mulholland, who is the medical oncologist, Europe's leading medical oncologist on glioblastoma that I work with, believes that they could be very significant. And we've been speaking to Moderna, who are producing these vaccines, but unfortunately, they feel unable to donate drugs for trials on 10 people. So I'll be contacting other of the vaccine producers to see if they might help us.
And did Moderna mention why they're unable to donate vaccines for the trial?
Well, they say that they don't have the production capacity. But it is about how do we get the pharmaceutical companies to be interested in what are regarded as the rare cancers.
And how do you think we get them interested?
Well, I think I've come to the conclusion, and this is just a personal conclusion, that actually we may need legislation to require them to. That there's already a mechanism whereby if you get, as a drug company, you get a license for a paediatric, for a tumour, you have to do something about children's cancer. So I think we may need a mechanism that where a pharmaceutical company gets a license for a tumour drug, that it's required to help one of the rarer cancers. I'm going to investigate how to do that. And I will certainly encourage the current government and any future Labour government, if elected, to do so.
Brilliant. Now, I saw on your Twitter you've had four people this week come to you desperate for help and options. What's that like when you've got people coming to you desperate for help?
It's really heartbreaking because I know what it's like to be them. And I know the kind of complete lack of acceptance that there is absolutely nothing available. And they motivate me to carry on going. And the best I can do for them right now is include them on my campaign email tree to make sure that they will know of any trial as soon as I know of one.
And why do you think people with rare cancers are almost pushed to the side?
Because of how the pharmaceutical industry works. So if you... So what they will do, and this isn't necessarily badly motivated, it's just commercially motivated, that you will concentrate on the big cancers. So breast, bowel, lung, bladder cancer. And so if you come up with a drug for one of those conditions, you get it licensed, and then you have 8 years in which to make your money, to recoup your money. At the end of 8 years, it becomes a generic drug, so anybody can produce it and the price falls. So in those 8 years, what you're doing is you are going to investigate how you can improve that drug so you can get licensed again, so you can get a further 8 years and further profit from your drug. Or you will investigate the major cancers, because there is much more money in doing it for them. So somehow we have to break the cycle to let the rarer cancers get a look in.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay, moving on to antisocial behaviour. I saw online that a few residents have brought up an issue with fly tipping and people smoking drugs in the area. What's going to be done to combat this?
Well, fly tipping is a multi-billion dollar pound industry in the UK. There's lots of money to be made out of it. They do it absolutely everywhere. And so the council, I think Merton Council from memory, is one of the biggest prosecutors of fly tippers. So you try and keep it at bay, but it's an ongoing struggle. I'm very grateful to the Dons Local Action, who are a local charity based on AFC Wimbledon fans, and Kappa Construction Company, because I was canvassing last Sunday in a road in Mitcham, and a man came up to me to tell me that his side alley had all this stuff dumped overnight and didn't know how to clear it. And I contacted the Dons Local Action, and they, together with Kappa, just came down and cleared it. Now, that was a small site. They can't do it everywhere. They can't do big sites, but I'm very grateful for them helping in this particular example.
And what would you say to residents to fill them with confidence that issues like this are being tackled?
There will always be examples where solutions aren't there. I mean, if you've got a rear alley to your home, the likelihood is that it's private and you and your neighbours have responsibility for it. So if somebody comes along and dumps it in it, the council aren't going to come and clear it. So though it is a problem when it happens in those circumstances, but I think the council generally does a good job when rubbish is dumped in the street. If you contact them, they will come and clear it. But of course, they do that at cost to all of us, because that price is factored into the council tax.
Last time I spoke to you, you mentioned that there is a public meeting on May the 21st. Do you want to tell us what this meeting is for?
Yeah, there's a public meeting on May 21st at 7 p.m. at the Vestry Hall, where I'm holding a meeting with the local police to talk about crime in and around Mitcham. So antisocial behaviour, such as street drinking, but also bigger crimes. We've had four... firearms discharges in Mitcham in the last year, and Operation Trident will be there, who investigate crimes related to gun crime. So we will be tackling all issues from very serious major crime to kind of, I don't want to say lesser, because they're big problems for people experiencing them, but antisocial behaviour.
And why was this meeting called in the first place?
Actually, the police came to me and they wanted to inform people about the issues related to the Grand Crime incident. And because issues related to crime come to me, you know, whether it's young kids being robbed of their phones or people having problems with people gathering outside their home and being noisy, or issues related to drugs. So the police wanted me to do it, and I wanted to do it on behalf of local residents, because I think the police have been trying much better than they have in recent years in tackling those issues in the town centre. But I want to see that concentration on those issues, and I want to see Mitcham be a really and remain a really safe place to live and to work. So that's why it's happened.
Are you inviting residents to come along? And if they are allowed, do they turn up? Do they have to sign up? What's the procedure?
No, they can just turn up. Now I've got the elections out of the way. I will be posting everybody in the central Mitcham area an invite this week. So they should get a letter. I will be putting it through on Facebook and on my email system to let everybody know, and everybody is very welcome.
And will the floor open up for people to ask questions? Should they come along with things that they want to ask you about?
Yeah. They will. People will be given the opportunity to make their points and everything. There will be a presentation from Operation Trident. There will be a presentation from the local Safer Neighbourhood teams who police the area. And people can, of course, bring their points. Obviously, if they've got a very personal issue, then it would be better to talk to me about it individually or to email me, because it will be difficult to deal with people's individual cases on the night. But I will be there. The police will be there. The councillors will be there. Representatives from the council will be there. So there will be an opportunity at the end of the meeting to discuss one-to-one.
Once again, last time I spoke to you mentioned that Mitcham and Morden's having a shocking time with water and gas mains bursting at the moment. Why Why is this?
Well, it's lack of investment in our gas network, in the gas pipes that run through our streets and town centres. And I think Mitcham is unfortunately in a position where it's got kind of the M25 of gas pipes running through it. And we became aware of that because, as you'll recall, about almost 2 years ago now, we had a terrible gas explosion in Galpins Road where a little girl died as a result. So obviously, SGN's Southern Gas Networks are very worried about safety. And so they're doing the works now. But, you know, we've also got the problem under investment by Thames Water. So a lot of water works are happening. So for work that does desperately need to be done, it does cause people problems.
And obviously, when the water mains burst and the gas pipes need repairing, that does happen. But what can be done to resolve this issue?
Well, it needs to be much more investment in doing the works. People constantly complain to me that when the road is dug up, that you don't see contractors there all the time, that a lot of time there's nobody working on the site. That's a great cause of frustration. You know, ideally, I'd like to see 24-hour work on a site so that we could get the work done as soon as possible. I'm in constant contact with Transport for London about bus routes and about with the council about getting cars access in some way to go about their business. So it is a really challenging thing, operation, I suppose.